Lord, we thank you for the miracle of new life, salvation, and that you've purchased our healing and our deliverance. And it is your desire that every one of your people would be free, bound by nothing, except a bondservant to you alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody blessed me with a note they dropped in the box. In fact, that's a good way to do it. Sometimes you can just fill out that little note piece of paper and put it in the offering box back there. All right? So we give God the glory for it. Amen? We know who does the miracles. We know where our help comes from, right? Amen. When I had a brother, I stuck it up on the he said, I came here about 5 years ago. And he says, with my grandmother and grandpa, and he says, and I was a drunk. But today, by the grace of God, he's been set free. And so he's been, he received that miracle. We came up here for prayer, and God broke that addiction. Amen. So don't ever limit God by your own unbelief. Amen. I've done that before. But, you know, Jesus said, according to your faith, let it be unto you. Amen. And if you ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. Amen. So how do we know the will of God? How do we understand the will of God? Well, we can't know the will except the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God reveals the will of God to us. Amen. And how many know that the Holy Spirit will never contradict this book right here? Amen. The Holy Spirit, amen, and the Word are one. Hallelujah. So we know if there's something that's not lining up with this book, it's not the Holy Spirit. And if it's the Spirit is drawing attention to itself, it's not the Holy Spirit. Amen. How many know the Holy Spirit will always point us to Jesus? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, how many are going to finish well on your journey? You're going to finish well? Say, somebody say, by the grace of God, right? By the grace of God, we're going to finish well. So, guys, it's something we need to be thinking about, amen, is that it's not how well you start, it's that you finish well. Some people have a rough start, but they finish well. Some people have a good start, but they finish poorly. But by the grace of God, we will finish well. Because it's not of us, salvation is of the Lord, isn't it? And the grace that we need to overcome in this world comes from him. It's not because I have strong willpower that I can behave myself. One thing you cannot do is change your heart, and God works on the heart. Amen. God transforms us from the inside out. And I'm so grateful for the grace of God in my own life. And that God brought me to a place in my life where I was, I'd had enough of me. How many beside myself have had enough of you? You see, you're not ready for Jesus until you're done with you. And the Lord will help you get over you. God helped Peter get over Peter to realize where his strength, his help came from. Peter was very strong-willed and thought that in his own ability, he could live for God. And he found out that his little servant girl, amen, brought him down real quick and gave him a little attitude adjustment. God had to allow some things in Peter's life to get his attention. God allowed the enemy to sift him, amen, for a season, so that he would wake up and realize that he was no match for the enemy that he faced, and that he was going to have to rely upon the grace of God to be the man that he was called to be, to do the work of the Lord. You and I are going to finish our journey successfully. Amen. And we're going to do that because we are focused on one person, amen, and that's on Jesus. So you're going to have a focus to accomplish anything in life. You've got to have a dream. You've got to have a goal in life. How many know that you get into complacency and apathy when you have no desire, no dream, no goal, no vision for your life? When you don't have a dream, you end up spending yourself foolishly. You waste your time when you don't have a purpose. You don't understand your purpose. And so it is. Today we have many people that do not have or at least a known purpose. They don't understand their purpose. They don't know what this is all about. And so they just spend their life foolishly. And even as believers, the enemy wants to get us into a place where we start to believe that things are hopeless. Because if we don't believe there's any hope, then we'll quit. He's trying to get you to quit. He knows he can't defeat you if you trust Jesus, amen, and you put your faith or confidence in him. But if he can get you to take your eyes off Jesus and put your eyes on you and on your own ability to overcome, then he can defeat you very quickly. And so the Lord allows us to fail so that we learn that apart from him, we can do nothing. Amen. So listen to Paul's final instructions to Timothy here. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, he says, "But you be watchful in all things." Pay attention. Be alert, right? "Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." What is he saying there? He's saying, complete it. Carry it out. Entirely accomplish your God-given mission. How many know that if God has given you an assignment, God has given you a ministry, he's given you a mission in this world. If you're a child of God, God has given you a mission. And God wants you to fully complete or accomplish that mission. He doesn't want us just having a half heart about it. Amen. He wants us fully committed to the purpose for which God had called us. He chose us. He separated us for himself. And in verse 6, it says, "For Paul said, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." What was Paul saying? He had confidence that he had done exactly what the Lord had required of him in the allotted time that he was given. How many here want to be able to say that at the end of your life? I do. I always pray that way. Lord, I want to finish well. Lord, I want to hear you say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And I want to finish all of the will of God. I don't want to just do a partial job. I want to accomplish that which God called me to accomplish, amen, in this life. How many know that we have but a short window of opportunity in this world, amen, to do what God has called us to do? We're in a race, and so you got to run to win. You can't lag, amen, behind in the race. You can't be slothful in this race. You can't be, you know, partially committed to this race. If you're going to win the race, you have to be all in. And that means that you have to have a disciplined life. Amen. Hallelujah. So we have to take control of ourselves and make our bodies, amen, serve the purpose of God. And we do that by the grace that God supplies us, because it's not of us, but of his grace, who enables us to have self-control so I can commit myself as a willing vessel to the will of God and finish well. See, God wants every one of us here to be successful in life. Amen. And he wants us to have an inheritance. He wants us to have a warm welcome in that day, an abundant welcome into his kingdom. So Paul said this again. "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Who are those who love the Lord's appearing? We, right? Those who live for him are looking forward to seeing him in that day. Those who have lived as Jesus lived in this world will have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he was in this world, so are we. Amen. If you have given your life already to the Lord and you're living out the purposes of the Lord, it means that there has to be self-denial and a willingness to, amen, receive the calling, the purpose of God, and run with it. Amen. Understanding that this world is temporary. Amen. And that what we do according to the will of God, amen, will be forever. It will last forever. So we cannot do what God's called us to do apart from the enabling power of his Holy Spirit, who is given to those, amen, who love him. And if you are living for Jesus, then you're looking for his appearance. You're looking for why? Because you have discovered that this world does not hold the key to your success or your happiness Come on. Well, if I can just go on one more cruise, or if I can just go to another Six Flags, or one more ride on the, what's that, Wild Waves, then I'll be happy. If I could just get that one more purse, that one more pair of shoes, that one more garment, that one more whatever it is, guys, a gun, then I'll be happy. Right? So Christmas is coming up. Praise God. Amen. I love Christmas, and I like giving gifts. And should I say I like getting gifts too? Sinner. But we love to give, don't we? It's a time when we share. But how many realize that Christmas morning comes? I remember when I was a kid. How many remember when you were young and you just couldn't wait? Man, we were waking up in the middle of the night, eyes wide open, you know. Wait and listen for every little thump in the night, you know. Being lied to about some guy in a red suit and all that stuff, that's messed up. But then that morning comes and you run downstairs and you're like, oh, here it goes. And me and my brother, we didn't mess around. See, we had a sister too. And the sister was a little more dignified. And so she would open it up, you know. It's like, come on, just open the thing, you know. But she would take the tape off and open up the ends. And, you know, you could fold up the wrapping, right, for next year or whatever, yeah. Bruce and I, man, we just tore into it, you know, full abandon. But it just seemed like it was only a day or two, maybe. It was already starting to lose its luster, that new thing, that new shiny thing. How can you remember the things you had 20 years ago, 30, some of you old enough, right? And where is it today, right? So much of the stuff that we bought isn't just now on the trash heap somewhere because it wore out. Or we traded it in for something new and shiny. Yeah, like my first car that I got that I wrecked. Yeah. Yeah. Well, thou shalt have no other gods, right? Come on, some people will make a god out of their car. But anyways, without a vision, without a dream, without a purpose, amen. If we're not thinking about eternity, if we're only focused on this temporary world, you're never going to be satisfied. You're never going to be fulfilled. And you're going to be empty-handed someday. And how many know that the Lord deserves the fruit of our lives? That we come before Him with an offering. Today we bring an offering of thanksgiving, of praise to Him. Amen. We offer our bodies back to Him. Amen. For works of service for Him. Amen. We can do those things as a really a spiritual sacrifice, even giving of our possessions. These are things that please the Lord. Amen. As we give, just as Jesus had given, the Lord is pleased with that. But the Lord wants us to have an inheritance in heaven. He wants us to store for ourselves treasures in heaven. Amen. He wants us to live for eternity. And the world has a way of alluring us into the temporalness of everything. Amen. And just getting so preoccupied with the here and now that we can lose sight of where we're going. And there are people who are not looking forward to seeing Jesus. Why? Because they love this present world. And the reason why they're not looking for Jesus is because they're just serving this temporal world. Are you hearing me, somebody? Are you grateful for what the Lord has done in your life? Does He not deserve everything from us? Amen. We've been given a labor of love. Amen. We serve the Lord with gladness because of what He's done. We get to serve the Lord. We're privileged to do this. You know, so many are caught up in the cell phones and the computers. And I spend time on my computer too, and on my cell phone. But for some, you know, that is their life. It's all revolved around that device. I can't get away from that device long enough even to listen to what God has to say. Their minds are captured by that thing. It's become an idol. It's something that if we're not careful, it can come between us and God. You've heard of these gaming centers that they have where people sit and play endless games. You know, I mean, hours and hours. Some of them, they eat while they're playing. They can't even get away from that game long enough. Amen. And so they're slaves to this thing. And I don't know, it's like there's an emptiness that people are trying to fill, that there's that void that only God can really satisfy. But if we're not careful, if we don't have a heavenly vision, if we don't have a God-given dream, are you hearing me? If we don't have a God-given vision, then we will spend ourselves foolishly. We will waste the time that God has given us for living only for this present world. You know, the Lord was our example. He was on a mission when he came. He came to live out the will of the Father. And he told his disciples, as the Father has sent me, now I am sending you to also follow in my footsteps. I've left you an example. Amen. You see, the devil is a thief. And he wants to rob you of your inheritance. He wants you to waste your life. He wants to rob you of your productivity. The reason there's so much dysfunction in society today is because people either do not know or do not honor the Word of God. So you have some people that are completely ignorant to the Word of God and some people who know what the Bible says, but don't care. They do not honor the Word of God. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no revelation or dream or vision, the people cast off restraint or they perish. But happy is he who keeps the law. And here revelation means prophetic revelation. The thought is that when God's word is not understood and honored, the people run wild. And that is true in our society today. That is true in some of the church today. And in order to accomplish the will of God, we need to understand what the will of God is. How many here would agree that God has a purpose for your life? Just a show of hands, how many believe that God has a purpose for your life? Okay, put your hands down. Now, how many know what God's purpose is for your life? Not as many hands. How many know there's nothing more important than understanding why we're here? Our purpose in this world. God created you with purpose, did he not? He knew you before you were born. And God's plans are eternal. We can plan our lives. God gives us the liberty to do that. But God is hoping that we will involve him in our plans, that we'll run everything by his desk and say, Father, what do you say? I plan to do this. I plan to do that. How many believe that we should be acknowledging God in all of our ways? Yeah. Where do we get this vision? Well, this vision comes from the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that God gives us. Amen. When we're born again, amen, we receive the teacher. Amen. And he will reveal to us, if we will seek the Lord, we will find out, we'll discover God's plan, God's will for our life. Now, we know there's a general will for every one of us, amen, and that is that we represent the Lord in this world. We are ambassadors representing him. Amen. But specifically, God has designed you a certain way. He's given you certain abilities, certain giftings, amen, that are unique to you. And God expects that we'll be good stewards over what he's invested in us, that if everyone will do their part, amen, then together we will accomplish the mission of God, and that is to preach the gospel into all the world. And then the end shall come. So in order to accomplish the will of God, we must know what God's will is, amen. And if we don't have a vision, then we'll end up casting off restraints. We'll end up living our lives foolishly or living in vanity with no lasting fruit. Jesus said in John 16:13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will what? Tell you things to come. You want to know what God's will is? You need to seek his heart. Amen. You need to draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. And God also knows our hearts. He knows if we're willing to listen or not. Sometimes we may be asking God for something, but we're not really asking him for something. Sometimes we're asking God to bless what we want. But if you'll discover what God wants for you and do that, it's already blessed. You don't have to ask God to bless your life. If you're walking with Him, amen, and obedient to His will, you have a blessed life already. How many know we are already blessed? So once we receive a vision, what's the next step? Well, we need to commit ourselves to that vision. We need to commit ourselves fully to obey that. Paul was not disobedient to his God-given assignment. In Acts 26 and verse 19, he was before King Agrippa and he was giving his an account of what happened to him on the road to Damascus. And he says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. What was his message? Repentance. Turn back to God. Again, if you and I are going to finish our journey successfully, we must have a focused life. You must have a dream. You must have a vision. You must know where you're going. If you don't understand, you know, what God is calling you to, then there's nothing, you're not going to be pursuing that. Amen. So I know most people would agree, yeah, it's important that I understand the will of God. But are you willing to seek the Lord to find out what His will is for your life so you can commit yourself to that will and live, amen, for eternity? Because what you do now, according to the will of God, amen, will be blessed eternally. Store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Have a heavenly vision, amen? There's more to it than just a job, a house, a boat. Amen? God wants us to live for eternity. Set your sight on things above, where Christ is. So if a person doesn't understand their God-given purpose, they're going to spend their life foolishly. In Philippians 3:13, this was Paul's attitude. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing. I do what? Focus on this one thing. He had a focused life. In order to accomplish anything in life, you must have a dream and you must focus on that dream. You must pursue that dream. Are you hearing me, somebody? When I was working for Panasonic back in the day, I was miserable. I was a new Christian. I was excited for Jesus. I was on fire for Jesus. But I was miserable working in that place. And I had a lot of opposition. And a lot of people that didn't like me because of my testimony. You know? So I ended up working there for about 9 years. And probably after the first 6 months, I was ready to get out of there. But God would not release me from that place. Why? Because God was equipping and preparing me for something. And I had to go through the boot camp. Amen. And I'm still going through boot camp, by the way. How about you? So I committed myself to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to be faithful to you. And I carried my Bible everywhere. I made sure everybody knew I was a believer. Amen. I always had this, and I had one of those big Bibles, you know. I was really spiritual. I had one of those big, thick Bibles, you know. So, and I would come up and I would sit down at a table and they would scatter. See, God had to teach me some wisdom too, you know, and how to approach people and how to be a fisher of men, you know, and rely upon Him instead of me so much. But while I was there and I was studying for ministry, I was involved in youth ministry and they told me, I really feel God's call in your life. You need to pursue this. So I was studying, I was preparing myself while I was working full time, taking care of my family. And while I was there, I was like in this baptism of fire and I just wanted to get out of that place. But God would not allow me to. Why? Because God wanted me conditioned for what He had up ahead. He didn't want me to fall apart. Amen. Under pressure. So I had to go through these things and I had to learn how to forgive. I learned how to bless people when they curse me. Amen. I had to deal with these situations that I was faced with. And God was showing me myself and showing me my own weakness. Because a lot of times I was just self-confident. I wasn't really confident in him. I was self-confident. Amen. And so Lord had to show me my own weakness so I would lean heavily on his grace to be able to control myself and control my tongue even. Because I can remember I would be talking about Jesus to people, you know, and one day I had a little meltdown. Ever have a meltdown? And when I was growing up, I had a really bad temper. And I tell you what, God has been doing a phenomenal work in that area of my life. Amen. But one day I just took this chair and it went across the room. And there was this little girl working on the other side and she was ducking over there. And just at that time, one of the ladies that I've been ministering to walks by. She goes, "Praise the Lord." I was crushed. I was like, oh, man. You know, because our witness is that important. But you know, the Lord also taught me this, that when you blow it, be honest. Come clean. Amen. Don't be like the people that are always innocent in court. Amen. How do you plead innocent? You know, no, just be authentic, be real. Say, you know what? I was out of character. I blew it. I'm sorry. I apologize. That's a witness in itself. Be real. We're going to have our weak moments. But God is teaching us to rely upon his grace. But if we don't know where we're going, I had a goal. I really felt the call of God to be in ministry. And so I was working with teenagers. And it wasn't that I just woke up one day and think, I think I'm going to be a pastor. It's just like that's who I was when I was born again. And more of an evangelist even. And God just kind of like put me in and I started working with kids, you know, with teenagers. And I was in my 20s. I was a kid myself, pretty much. But when I was doing that, I was being developed. I was being honed by the Lord. He was teaching me things. He was teaching me how to depend upon his grace. Amen. And I had to keep that vision. And I had to keep my hand to the plow. And I had to continue my studies because there was a lot of things that could distract me and detour me from that. But I had that vision that this is what God wants me to do. This is what God wants me to prepare for. And so I continued throughout that time to study. Amen. Until the day came when finally the Lord said, okay, it's time for you to go. And the Lord opened a door for me. What am I trying to say? We have to have a focus. You have to have a dream. You have to have a vision. And you must stick to it. You must commit yourself to the mission, to the will, to the purpose of God for your life. Amen. It's not starting well, but finishing well that matters. I listened to Paul and I asked myself sometimes and I said, Lord, even before the Lord, how am I doing? You know, if today was my last day, would I be able to say, as Paul did, I have fought the fight, the good fight, amen? I've kept the faith, laid hold of eternal life. I want to be able to say that. I want to be able to have that confidence, amen, that if today was my last day, that it's well with my soul. And that I haven't been wasting the precious time God has given me. Just living for vanity and for the temporal things of this life. God's not opposed to us enjoying some things in this world. I'm just saying that so much of our problem is that we have broken focus. We're not really focused on the eternal. We so easily get wrapped up in the temporary. And the enemy wants you to disconnect from the Holy Spirit. He wants you to disconnect from the Lord. Amen. Because he knows he can get you weak. He can take you out. There are people who were once on fire for God that attended this church. They were doing very well. You thought, man, they're in this for the long run. They're saved good. And then where are they today? See, the enemy, again, wants us to take our eyes off the Lord and off his eternal purpose and get preoccupied with this temporary world. So he can detour us and cause this train wreck in our lives. But the Holy Spirit is the one who can reveal the will of God to you. And then we need to commit ourselves to it. Just like Paul said before Agrippa, he says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. So if a person does not understand their God-given purpose, again, they're going to waste their life in this world. But he said, this one thing I'm doing. Amen. I'm forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Guys, I'm all for sitting around and thinking of, you know, as I get older, I get more nostalgic. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you. Maybe one or two of you know them. And you start thinking about the good old days and the things that were and the things that happened before and precious memories, how they linger, right? And there's nothing wrong with those memories, but guys, what is God doing today? And what are you doing today? Amen. Are you still walking with him today? You see, sometimes past successes can be a hindrance from us from going forward and continuing to progress in our walk with the Lord. Amen. So it's not always about past failures, but even past victories sometimes can be a hindrance if we focus on just what was. I've sat with people that all they talked about was what it used to be like or where they were at in the revival and this and that. And again, but my question is, but where are you today? You know, what's going on today? How many know that God wants us to bear fruit into old age? Amen. He wants us to be a well-watered garden. If you've lost your way, we can get detoured. Any of us can. If you've lost your way, it's not too late. But understand this. You and I have been allotted a certain window of time to live out the purpose of God for our lives. How many remember that saying years ago? A mind is a terrible thing to waste. How about your life? Even greater than that is your life. Amen. Your life is a terrible thing to waste. And when we take our last breath, it will be too late to go back and redeem the time that's passed. Think about it. God's given you and I a certain window of opportunity here and now. And today is the day of salvation. Today, we can commit ourselves back to love God back, to worship him, amen, to give our lives to him, to serve his purposes, amen. And the day will come when the Lord will have us to sit down at his table. And he said, I will gird myself and I will serve you. Wow. So Ephesians 5:15 says this, so be careful how you live. Don't live like the fools, amen, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't what? Act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. If you don't know your purpose, read the instruction manual, amen. Get into the Word. Find out God's heart, his will for your life, amen. And pray. Seek the Lord, amen. Read your Bible and seek the Lord. He'll reveal to you by his Holy Spirit his purpose, his will for your life. If you've lost your focus, get refocused. If you've fallen out of the race, get back in the race. Run to win. Again, people who are successful in this life are people who faithfully pursue their dreams. If you're going to be a successful business owner, you got to be focused. Amen. If you want to be a professional athlete, you got to be focused. Amen. If you want to get out of Panasonic, you got to get focused. Amen. Going to be a jailbreak. But as believers, and out of gratitude for what the Lord has done for us, it's our reasonable service to offer our bodies back to him. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, what, and acceptable and perfect will of God. Following Jesus requires a lifetime commitment to him. Luke 14:28, Jesus said this, for which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? See, once again, it's not about starting out well, it's finishing well. The title of the message is Finishing Well. 29, lest after he has laid the foundation, is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." How many know that the world has no respect for half-hearted Christians? How many of the Lord does not expect his people to be lukewarm, to be on fire for him, to be fully committed to him? Amen. "This man began to build," they said, "and was not able to finish." Would you agree with me that there is a cost to following Jesus? But how many would believe that today that it is worth it in eternity? Amen. Because we are children of eternity. Hallelujah. So life with Jesus, and I've discovered this, I bear witness to this today, that's an exciting and joyful life. Amen. And it's full of purpose and destiny. God has a plan. You need to discover it. You need to commit yourself to it. And you need to run to win. Amen. Don't look back. Jesus said, "He who has put his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom." We've committed ourselves. Amen. There's no bridge to go back over. Amen. You got to burn that bridge out. Amen. That's the right kind of bridge to burn right there. We all remember Caleb. Caleb was a man, and so was Joshua, right? They were focused. They committed themselves because they believed God's word, God's promise to them. They knew that God had promised them a land, amen, that was flowing with milk and honey. They believed that, and so they committed themselves. They were faithful, even though they were surrounded with unbelief and people that were getting frustrated because God wasn't doing things the way they thought he should. Amen. They saw beyond the temporary. They saw beyond the temporary inconvenience and the difficulties of the wilderness, and they knew that God was faithful to do what he said he would do, that he had promised them a land. Amen. And they were going to keep their eyes on Canaan. Hallelujah. And they were going to press on until they were entering into that land. Amen. And the reason they entered in is because they were focused. They persevered. They did not look back. They were not part of the crowd that says, "Let's go back to Egypt." Amen. They said, "We're going to go. We're going all the way. We're in this all the way." How many are in this all the way? Amen. So Caleb, in Numbers 13, verse 30, quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are what? Well, able to overcome it." Guys, you know, we need that in America. We need that in our own lives. We need that in our families. We need that attitude in America today. The church needs to take this attitude, amen, that we are well able to take this land. "If my people, who are called by my name, will what? Humble themselves and pray. And seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land." Lord, heal our land. Oh God, make us a blessing, Lord, that out of our lives, Lord, you will shine, that we will light up the night. Lord, that we'll be full flame believers, Lord, that we will have a heart like Caleb, that are seeing beyond the momentary, that are not living by sight, by the way things appear. But we know, God, you are bigger, you are greater, and you are well able, Lord, to bring us in to a place, hallelujah, of abundance again. Hallelujah. We want to believe, Lord. Help our unbelief. Hebrews 10:38, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to destruction or perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." We are pressing on. Paul said, "I'm forgetting those things which are behind. I'm pressing on towards the mark of the high calling God." Amen. He had a focused life. He committed himself to the will of God. He did not look back. Amen. And so at the end of his life, he was able to say, "I have completed my course." Amen. "I have kept the faith. And thenceforth, there is a crown of righteousness awaiting me. I want to finish well. How about you?" If we believe and we don't quit, we don't give up, we're going to witness the salvation, the healing, and the deliverance of God in our lives and in the lives of others. If we do not quit, if we do not become weary in well-doing, we keep pressing on, we keep believing, we keep praying, amen, and calling on the name of the Lord, hallelujah, we're going to see salvation, we're going to see healing, we're going to see deliverance in our land. Because God wants to do it, but he's looking for someone who will stand in the gap. He's looking for a people who will say, here am I, Lord. Send me. We need to believe God for our families, for our communities, for this nation. And I'm going to say it again. It doesn't matter how dark things appear. God is bigger. God is greater. God is able. And we are well able to take the land with the help of the Lord. So if you've fallen out of the race, get back in the race. Amen. It's time to get back in the race and to run with perseverance as you fasten your eyes upon the author and the finisher of your faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is calling you heavenward. Amen. He's saying, come up higher. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that what? Wait upon the Lord. Don't give up. Wait upon the Lord. They shall renew their strength and what? Mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. The Lord is the strength of my life. How about you? I'm able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. For with Christ, amen, we shall gain the victory together with the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm going to finish with this very familiar passage of Scripture. Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary while doing good. Keep your hand to the plow. Don't look back. Don't ever quit. You can't lose if you don't quit. Amen. Don't listen to the other voice. Listen to the voice of truth. The Lord is there for you. His grace is more than enough for you. He's sufficient for you. God is able to see you through every situation. He says, when you go through the waters, I will be with you. Amen. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon you, because I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. We have a God who's with us, and we have a God who's for us, and he dwells in us. And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. We should not in any way be intimidated by our adversaries. Amen. Because the greater one is in us and with us. Hallelujah. As Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We just stand. Thank you for coming today. Hallelujah.